Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It's time for Cinema Savants.
Are we online?
Yes!
Your weekly source for movie news.
You said that like it explains why there's a total stranger sitting in the dark in my second favorite chair.
Movie reviews.
Oh, yes! I hate this! It is revolting!
More?
Please.
And the occasional Hollywood rumor.
Wow, nice suit! Zip it, Stanley!
Hosted by Todd Vandenberg.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you shoot him, you just make him mad.
And Rob Steele.
I can't speak for the other guys, but I'm in it for the money. I don't care if you go to jail.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes!
And that's when I shot him, Your Honor.
Welcome to another partly spectacular episode of Cinema Savants. He's Todd Vandenberg. And for reasons that will become apparent later in the show, I'm Stephen Wright. We have another great... So it's the best Stephen Wright I can do. I'm not very good at him. He's a little too subdued. But it'll pop up later in the show and you'll go, oh, I still don't get it. And that's fine. We got a lot of stuff to get through today because a lot of stuff came out this week, not all of which makes sense. And I'm going to be honest, even though we're reporting it, not all of it I care about either. But it's our job, so we'll tell you. So there. Wanted to get started with an article that I read that kind of worries me about the movie industry a little bit. It comes from THR, and if I knew what that stood for, I'd let you know, but I don't. They said that they're expecting the box office season this summer to fall as much as 10% from last year. They said the reason for that, there's multiple reasons, some of which is DVD box sets of things like Stranger Things and Game of Thrones, where people would rather, you know, spend the same amount of money on a box set of an entire season of a show than just go see a movie once with someone else because they cost the same. And that there's really only two, what they're calling guaranteed juggernauts this summer. One of which is already out. And yes, it is. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is a juggernaut. It's still making tons of money, as evidenced by it smashing the crap out of King Arthur this weekend, which was supposed to be the big movie this week. And it is not the big movie this weekend. And we'll get to King Arthur in a little while. The other movie that they're claiming is a guaranteed juggernaut. And this is going to take some explaining. But they're saying the other one is Despicable Me 3. And I think I can explain this. Because okay. I had to look at that for a minute and go, really? Despicable Me 3? Because I went through the rest of the movies coming out this summer. And the only other two movies in its category, which is aiming at children, Cars 3, which to me looks really depressing and horrible, and I'm not going to take my kids to it, mainly because they didn't care for Cars 1 and 2. But still, if I had kids that cared about it, I wouldn't take them to see Cars 3. And I love how this was described. On July 28th, there will be an untitled Disney fairy tale project being released. Really? That's a bit vague, and we should have heard something about it by now. So the kids' movie of the summer, by default, which is going to be big because kids are out of school, they go see movies, it's going to be Despicable Me 3. That's going to make money. Which leaves us with a whole bunch of other movies that are not guaranteed blockbusters. We've got some that... I think Wonder Woman could be. I think the new Mummy movie could be. And I think Spider-Man might be. Everything else, I don't see it being a blockbuster. And I've got a list of other ones that I'll rattle off later, but I'm going to let Todd say something because he's being awfully quiet.
I was just getting into my Stephen Wright character.
Oh,
You have to talk a little lower and kind of pause. Basically, when you think of Sam Kinison, and then you do the opposite, and then you go
that
plug in a toaster, because something will happen if you plug in a toaster.
The reasoning behind the Minions 3 makes sense, but I will eat an asparagus sandwich if Minions 3 pulls in more money than the Spider-Man movie. And I hate asparagus.
I didn't say it was going to do that.
I know you didn't say that. But as far as a tent pole, no.
It's going to go down as the biggest kids movie this summer.
Oh, yeah, because there's no kids movies other than that, which makes sense, just like you said. But THR is the Twitter handle for The Hollywood Reporter. I found that, so which makes sense.
Thank you. I knew it was something.
But, wow, yeah, that's very odd. Because it's not you saying that, it's The Hollywood Reporter saying that. And I understand right. As far as kids movies, it makes sense. And, yeah, and it's got a guaranteed buy-in because the kiddies love the Minions for some reason. And they're cute, but, you know, if I was in the age bracket and target, I think I would probably love the Minions too, sadly.
Actually, while we're doing Despicable Me 3, I want to throw this out because this was a very big missed opportunity for the college my oldest daughter is going to. Because in the 3 years she's been there, it's had three different names. I don't know why. It started out as Augusta State University. Then it changed to Georgia Regents University. And now it's back to just Augusta University, state free, apparently. But when it was Georgia Regents University, right? GRU, mm-hmm. GRU,
yeah.
They should have had the Minions as the mascot for the school.
Yeah, probably would have cost them too much money.
Would that not have been awesome?
But would have been very smart. And then they would have stayed that way because they would probably pull in students just because they could go to GRU.
Go to GRU.
Bizarre.
You know, the halftime show at the football game. No one's going for the football game because the team isn't that good. Have the Minions come out on the field and do whatever it is they do. People would come to see that.
They would.
It's the only time I've ever promoted a halftime show. Anyway, as you were saying, sorry.
It will probably be the last one.
I just wanted to throw that out. Probably.
Yeah, that's just to pick that as the only other tent pole, and we were talking pre-production that it's funny when it's like, oh, well, this is a guaranteed tent pole. There are no guaranteed tent poles because we've all seen plenty of sequels that die on the vine.
Tank.
And we all see things that are expected to be huge, like King Arthur, as you mentioned. And again, we'll get to that at some point. But yeah, there's no such thing as a guaranteed tent. But that's such an odd thing. As you said, yeah, it'll make a lot of money because there's no competition for that particular slot. But to say that'll be a tentpole movie makes zero sense.
I think it's just by default that they're saying that. You know, it's summer, kids go see movies, so there has to be a kids movie that's going to be a tentpole. And for lack of options, it's got to be Despicable Me 3. Just because there isn't anything else.
I think they're crazy. Yeah, for that category, yes.
I'm looking at the movies that are coming up. You know, Cars 3, it just looks too dark and depressing for a kids movie. Transformers 7000 or whatever number they're up to. I stopped caring halfway through the first movie. So
agreed.
No. It's going to make money, but not as much as they want. War for the Planet of the Apes. Really? I'm not even sure why they're putting that on the list. The Alien movie, I have something to bring up about that later. The only new movie that's coming out is Valerian and this, what is it, City of 5 Billion Planets or something. I don't see that being a big money-making movie in theaters. I think it's going to end up being a lot like the previous movie that it's being compared to because, well, same guy and same premise, The Fifth Element, it's going to become a cult classic movie. And I agree.
Hopefully it's a lot better than the other film that it makes me think of, which is your favorite movie of this year so far, Ghost in the Shell, exactly. By the way, Fifth Element, since you mentioned it, it is in select theaters today. So,
hey,
two shillings. So if you want to go see The Fifth Element, yeah, make a run for it, because I think 7 o'clock is one of the shows.
Sure. Yeah, okay. So, yes, go see it.
Yeah. It is. It is indeed. So, again, one of those very cool re-releases, which we'll talk about a re-release series later on in the show, which is very, very cool, very exciting, which probably every one of the films will be much better than Despicable Me 3. So take your kids to go see one of these movies instead of that, but we'll get to it.
Right. Yeah, that's all I was thinking with that. Let's see. So let's do some rapid fire news things in with the ever recurring segment, the good, the bad, and the whatever. I told you I'd make more of them eventually. They're short, yes. They're quick, they're stupid. Yeah. Moving on. The Justice League Dark movie has been in pre-production hell for the past, 15 or 20,000 years, I think it is. But according to an interview with Cinema Blend magazine, Doug Liman is supposedly in charge of Justice League Dark and wanted to get underway soon. So apparently it's actually going to be made finally as a live action movie. We had the animated version earlier this year, which I thought was excellent.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'd love to see a live action version. So unlike other Justice League movies or other DC movies of late, let's hope they don't screw it up. So there.
Indeed.
Let's see. Other good news we have this week. M. Night Shyamalan and his new movie Glass, which is the sequel to Split, which was the sequel to Unbreakable, is happening. I think that's awesome. It's a great thing because Unbreakable was really good. I thought Split was better. And this time they're giving him what they're calling a bigger budget. Considering Split was allegedly made with just $5 million, a bigger budget would mean, $5.25 million?
Right.
But still, I think that that's going to be good. Give him a budget so he can have, these three characters come together in a really cool and meaningful way.
I really, really liked Unbreakable. I really liked Split. And it's funny just hearing Split called the sequel to Unbreakable, because it really is the sequel to Unbreakable. But yeah, Nobody knew it at the time. So,
surprise.
And if you ran out of the theater, you still didn't know it because you had to wait a little bit. So, yeah, that's awesome news, because very interesting characters, very cool films. And we've dogged Mr. Knight several times because he's made a lot of atrocious movies, unfortunately, but he also made some really, really good movies before, and it really seems like he's got it back. So wherever the hell it went for about 10 years, he's got it, which is great. So very cool to see that happening. Yeah, no kidding. So yay for you, sir. And good luck on that one. Yeah. Unbreakable had a budget of $75 million.
Really?
Of course, that was coming on the heels of... Yeah, I know. I was thinking that probably didn't have a very big budget, but it did.
Yeah,
need it.
A lot of these movies, like Valerian, looks like it'd be excruciatingly expensive, whereas Unbreakable looks like it wouldn't. And I think they had about the same budget, now that you've told me that, which is really weird.
Split had a budget of $9 million. So, because I saw the story that said Split was ahead in $5 million budget, which is next to nothing. Not that nine is a lot, but it's almost twice what the story said it had. So,
right. Weird.
Yeah.
Don't have a whole lot of bad news this week, which is a good thing. One of which they announced 10 minutes after our show last week was that they're making a sequel to Edge of Tomorrow.
That's
which
it.
I didn't know they needed in the first place. Edge of Tomorrow 2, Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Which
I'd rather rinse and lather and repeat than watch this movie, because I'm sorry, Groundhog Impossible 2, which is what
now,
it was.
I really liked Edge of Tomorrow. I thought it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But the title, I love the fact that they finally realized that was one of the worst, most generic, god-awful, crap-fest titles ever. Edge of Tomorrow. It sounds like something your mom watched, you know, that you came home after school and your mom was watching it and you just gotten the color TV. So now she finally saw that Mrs. Robertson had blue hair instead of gray.
That's a show. It was one
title.
Of the shows that you would watch when you stayed home from school because you had the chicken pox. It came on right after Ryan's Hope.
There you go. Edge of Tomorrow. So they finally realized that was a god-awful title. So now they've gone for the new film with the tagline, which was a much better title, Live, Die, Repeat. If they had just called the damn movie Live, Die, Repeat, I guarantee you they would have added about $100 million to the box office because it was such a stupid frickin' title. You know, standing at the marquee and you're thinking, oh, I don't know. Jeez.
I don't like either
Crazy.
Of them. I wasn't a big fan of the movie either, but, you know, that's, I don't know. Just me, I guess.
I was a big fan of the movie for two reasons.
And everyone loves Tom Cruise.
Here's the thing. Emily Blunt totally kicked ass in every way possible throughout the film, and Tom Cruise got his ass kicked every way possible and died, maybe 15 times on screen. So, perfect film. Perfect film.
Not as good as that CSI episode where they killed Justin Bieber. But
well, nothing can surpass that. That's a tenfold release right there.
CSI episode. I think that's hilarious. And you can actually go on YouTube and find that scene. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Justin Bieber played a bad guy on a CSI episode. And so many people hate Justin Bieber these days that when it was announced that his character was going to die, it became the highest rated CSI episode. And with the exception of Grissom, who was not even on the show at the time, every cop who has ever been on that show got to shoot him, which is Nick, Catherine, Warwick. I think Warwick was dead and still shot him. You know, everybody. It was a beautiful scene because Bieber has needed that for some time now. Other bad news that came out this last week, that I'm considering bad. Edge of Tomorrow 2. Fine, give it a better title and I'll consider it. They announced that they're going to be making another Hellboy movie. Now, I would normally classify this as good news, except it's not Hellboy 3. They're rebooting Hellboy.
Yep.
With no Guillermo del Toro.
No Ron Perlman.
Hellboy's even being, he's been recast as David Harbour, who I don't know. He was apparently in, Stranger Things and Quantum of Solace and an episode of Elementary. I'm told he was in the Suicide Squad, but I didn't pay enough attention to it to figure out which one he was. It doesn't have Del Toro. It's not going to count. I mean, everybody wanted, you know, number three, but they're not making number three, which I don't get. But that's what we're getting.
And
that makes sense to you?
Doesn't make sense that they're doing that. Harbor makes sense if they're not going to do Perlman. And I can understand, I mean, Ron's is actually getting up there a little bit as far as doing action scenes and everything. What's weird to me is that now they can finally get it made. And how could this not happen for Guillermo del Toro for like 600 years when he's been trying to get it off the ground? That's what's frustrating.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it'll be good. And it's been, at this point, it would have been so long that it'll be new for a lot of people. At least the creator is involved. That's the one good thing about it. And, you know, it's not just some random studio bought out the rights from another studio, so at least the guy who created it is in on it. But yeah, it's really disappointing that Perlman's is out of it, Controller's out of it, but Harbour from Stranger Things, I can see him pulling it off because he's got the physicality, and I like just his acting. That's the only thing I can recall seeing him in
is Stranger Things. But
Perlman is pushing 70, or will be by the time they start filming. So I can kind of see, unfortunately, moving away from Perlman. But it sucks. It really sucks. Because
it does.
Man, that would have been so awesome. Love Ron Perlman.
Other thing that sucks this week, and I don't know if you saw this, and I suppose technically it's not movie news, but it counts as far as I'm concerned because it has to do with Harry Potter. And this is honestly bad news. J.K. Rowling had written a prequel, a concept on a, what is this, an A5 postcard. I'm not sure what that means. It's big because it's an 800-word front and back idea she had for a prequel to Harry Potter that is different than Fantastic Beasts, and it was stolen. She's kind of narrowed down to where it possibly could have been stolen and the time period and everything, but it's supposedly going to be she's thinking it's going to pop up at an auction somewhere. So she's telling people, if you see it on an auction, contact her through Twitter or something and tell her where, because that was stolen. It's hers. Not that anyone who's listening to our show will be able to afford the $5 billion price tag they're going to put on it. But that kind of sucks that someone would steal something like that from period.
I kind of wonder about the whole thing that it was quote unquote stolen.
It allegedly happened during a robbery. So
someone must, that's really odd. Anyway, it's about a 6x8 inch piece of paper. So she writes tiny. Even front and back, that's 400 words aside. It does completely suck, and you would hope it would get back to her, because what good is it going to do somebody?
I have no idea.
Give it to some hack writer and have him produce some crap. And then as soon as it comes out, they'll know where it came from. There's nothing that can be done with it that you'll get away with.
Not really.
So, some private collector, which would be awful. If someone bought it and then kept it, that would be really stupid. So
it'll pop up on the dark net, wherever that is.
Yeah. It's around the corner from my house, I think.
Oh, okay. Got a number of news things that fall into the whatever category, because some of it is good and some of it is bad. Things like bubble shows. That's been the big thing this week, is shows that may or may not be renewed. The only two that I was really interested in, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been picked up and Elementary has been picked up. Everything else that's on this list, I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't watch any of these. But one that was picked up and just confusing is a show my wife likes called Once Upon a Time. And I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. It's a show on ABC, which is owned by Disney. Therefore, they're allowed to get all the Disney characters you can possibly imagine and cram them into one show.
Yep.
And I'm not a big fan of it, but the show does work. The thing is,
I've avoided it.
Yeah, I can't say I blame you, really. It was renewed, but they're getting rid of a number of characters. Well, actually, I'm not sure if they're getting rid of them. They're just not coming back. Snow White, Prince Charming, Henry, Belle, Emma, and the Wicked Witch of the West are leaving the show, which leaves, as near as I can tell, Regina, Rumpelstiltskin, and Captain Hook. I'm like, that's it? You're going to make an entire show out of just, what, the three characters? Who's left? I don't understand the point in that.
The Little Mermaid is left, which is a fairy tale, which they have their, they've got a lot left. And of course, that's exactly what they'll do. My guess,
but they were all the main characters.
But it's Once Upon a Time. I mean, it's like, are people really that invested in the Wicked Witch? My guess is that the people have been on long enough that their salary demands were getting to the point, not demands, but just expectations. I don't want to make it sound like the actors were revolting because they wanted more money. But it just happens as, shows get more popular, contracts go up, and they figured, hey, people will watch regardless of who's on, so let's reboot somewhat. And I guess
a lot
that's
of the actors were revolting anyway.
Especially the Wicked Witch of the West. One thing that, talking about the bubble shows, one thing that was canceled initially, which I thought, oh, good, because it was awful. And 3 days later, no, we decided to renew it after all, is Timeless, which is a crap fest of a reboot, remake of a really, really good movie. We talked about it before, Time After Time, which is a very interesting, intense, cool, and charming take on H.G. Wells pursuing Jack the Ripper. And God, it's stupid. So, yeah, renew that. That makes zero fucking sense. So, my guess is they said it was a publicity thing. It's like, oh, we went back in time and renewed it after all. It was like very funny. Go back again and cancel it. Anyway,
other shows that did get picked up that might interest you because they kind of fit with a lot of the other movies we talk about. Black Lightning was picked up by the CW network. So that'll be the fifth show in the Arrow universe, branch of the DC Comics area.
Why don't they just rename the network Arrow? I mean, at this point, I mean, that's cool news, but
Arrow Natural, because Supernatural is still going.
That's true. Very good. Well played, sir.
Just cross them together. Have the Supernatural guys pop up on Arrow because apparently they're not bringing back Constantine anytime soon. Fine. One show that I saw got picked up by Netflix and threw me off because I didn't know that they were making this, much less that it was to the point where it would be coming out this year, is a video game based on Castlevania. Or a show based on the video game Castlevania. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that was coming, but it is coming to Netflix. There's no date yet for it, though. But it's going to be very R-rated.
Ooh.
All right. Unlike the Deadpool cartoon, which is coming. Now, the thing about this is it's going to be produced by Donald and Stephen Glover, which makes me where's Crispin and Danny? I mean, they're the only Glovers we haven't mentioned in the past few weeks. More members of the Glover family show. Who knew? I didn't know there were that many Glovers. Just me. Natalie Portman has been announced to possibly make a cameo in the next Thor movie. This is me.
Interesting.
Not caring about that in the slightest.
It's
I don't.
Interesting,
I didn't care.
But it doesn't add anything. So.
No. They announced a couple things about the New Mutants movie, which is a spinoff of the X-Men in the comic book. Now, the thing that sounds almost promising here is that they're actually using characters that were in the beginning of the New Mutants and going with that direction with it. Because they announced that, Cannonball, Sunspot, and Wolfsbane are going to be in it, along with the character of Magic. And they have cast two of these. Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones and Doctor Who is going to be playing Wolfsbane, who is basically a at-will werewolf, who's Scottish. Who knew? The other one, and this is why I'm putting it in the whatever category, Anya Taylor-Joy from Split, we talked about earlier.
Right.
Now, my problem with this is...
And which?
She's being cast as the character Magic, who, if you know the comic book, is really Ilyana Rasputin. Rasputin, where do we know that name from? Oh, yeah, that's Colossus. Colossus's little sister. So Colossus could pop up in the movie. I think that would be great. Not holding my breath. But in the book, under no circumstances has she ever not been blonde. Anya Taylor-Joy is... not blonde. This is fucking Hollywood. How can you not cast a
hair dye?
Can you not find a blonde somewhere? I mean,
how?
Come on.
She was blonde in The Witch. What can I tell you?
It's not natural.
Well, absolutely not natural in The Witch. So there you go.
It doesn't matter.
She's a very good actress. She's very cool. I like her. So
I agree with that. It could. I'm just saying, you know, there's people out there that look like the people you want them to be. Why not get the people who already look like it and save the money on the makeup? For example, this goes into the next story. There's going to be a movie called My Dinner with Hervé about a struggling journalist named Danny Tate who has an evening with actor Hervé Villechaize.
Oh, I was hoping that's who it was.
Fantasy Island, Man with a Golden Gun. Everyone knows who he is. He's going to be played by, quick, name a short actor. Peter Dinklage.
Hugh Jackman. Okay. That was going the other way. Yeah. 6'3".
Just because Peter Dinklage and Hervé Villechaize have the same height does not mean they're even remotely close to... what, are you going to give him a mask? Is that it? I don't understand how that... I mean, just because of the same height, there's other people out there that look like him. Use one of them. You know, there's someone out there, there's Hervé Villechaize impersonators. You know, there's Elvis impersonators and everything. Get a Hervé Villechaize impersonator.
Yeah, but Dinklage is a really good actor. I would rather they focus on getting a really good actor and not worry too much about, he didn't look that much like him, but... it's kind of, I mean, it's weird. I mean, for a well-known person, like, of course, I don't know how many people would really know what Hervé looked like that are going to go see this movie, you know.
Abraham Lincoln movie and casting Jamie Foxx in the lead.
Well, that's a little different. But I was just going to say that movie Nixon... with Anthony Hopkins as Nixon, it pulls me out the whole time because Hopkins is a great actor, but it's just he's so different from Nixon, and he plays it really well, but the whole time it's just like, just doesn't work, unless the subtext is that he was really Hannibal Lecter, in which case it's very cool, but it just didn't really work for me. I totally get what you're saying, but not gonna freak me out.
Other things that I did not get this week, another Tom Cruise story. His movie, The Mummy, is coming out. I don't know whether it's going to be a hit or not. It probably is, just because Tom Cruise is in it. But during the big premiere, there's going to be a 75-foot, 7-ton sarcophagus set up at Hollywood and Highland Getaway in Los Angeles to promote this. Why? Is that how many homeless people can you feed into the cost that this thing's going to have?
Yeah, but the point is, how many homeless people would they have fed? Which is zero. So they might as well spend it on a giant sarcophagus because they were never going to do anything worthwhile with the money. So yeah, go ahead and waste it. I'm glad you brought up
maybe
the mummy
they can
because
house
you know.
In the sarcophagus.
There you go. Because this whole thing of Universal is, you know, they're launching their own connected universe. You know, with the horror film creature, and of course, the Mummy is kicking it off. Although they tried to kick it off in 2010 with the Wolfman, and the Wolfman didn't really work that well. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a good movie. And it wasn't officially announced, but you know they were because they went with the old school Universal title with the globe and the Universal letters spinning around the globe. As in, like, it looked like it was made out of glass or something. It's like the logo that they had back in the 30s. So, it's... You guys have failed. And, again, the last preview, the last clips I saw, trailer for The Mummy, made me happier because, oh, look, there are horror elements in it. Finally, thank goodness. And, again, I know I want to go that way because action movies make a lot more money. But... it's a horror film. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't really change it into this big sweeping action film. I mean, the Mummy films that were out, what, 10, 12 years ago?
The first one came out in 99.
Okay, wow.
We're old.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah.
They were fun. It wasn't the Mummy. Yeah, so, and it's not that, the Mummy has to be this guy who... covered in bandages and walks really slow because it was really, frankly, a really stupid monster. But they weren't horror films. You know, they were just kind of like...
Only in the Jungle Quest cartoon.
Yeah, they were kind of boring. So, anyway.
Okay, next bit. For a long time, we have been hearing that Chris Marshall is going to be the next Doctor Who. Guess what? The front runner isn't the front runner anymore. To Luke Treadway and Sasha... I'm going to mispronounce your last name, dude. I apologize. Dahuan, or something like that. I apologize. I'm sure I'll be hearing it soon and be able to go, oh, that's how it's pronounced. Dahuan. I'm mispronouncing it. I'm sorry. But, the reason I put this in the whatever news is because, look, I love Doctor Who. But until you actually have somebody, stop throwing out these stories every couple of days of, here's the new front runners. I'm not caring anymore.
Yeah.
Do I expect it to be either of these guys? No.
It gets hits, and that's why it goes out there.
I know. Not the point.
But yeah, it does get really old.
Very quickly. Now, the last thing is a movie that I'm probably never going to see in the way it's intended to be seen. It's called Draw Me Close. It's a movie that's showing up at the Tribeca Film Festival. And it's one of those Oculus Rift virtual reality movies. Now, I do actually have an issue with this is because at some point during this virtual reality movie, the actor that you're opposite with this 3D view gives you a hug. Now, my thing with this is a hug is a very tactile thing. You have to feel someone against you, even if it's just, a bro hug. I am shaking somebody's hand. My shoulder has run into somebody else's shoulder. There is a tactile sensation. If it is just a virtual reality hug, to me, I can't help but think it's only going to look like a very quick, look what's over that other guy's shoulder, zoom in shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a hug is a tactile thing. You can't do that even in virtual reality. Do you get the same feeling out of this? Because that's what I'm getting out of it.
Totally. Doesn't make any sense. Unless they are going to have some guy in a really completely covered in black and he's going to pop up and hug everybody all at once. So 100 people will be watching this and have 100 people hugging people. Going back to the Doctor Who thing, just briefly.
I'm sorry.
They're clearly going for a young vibe because Luke and Sasha combined look like they're about 30. Okay, maybe 40 combined. So nothing wrong with that, but it's just interesting. 35. They go from Capaldi and we're just going very, very young. I mean, clearly they're looking at casting the youngest who ever. Absolutely, because
I still think Matt Smith was younger.
Matt Smith looked
like he was freaking 12 when he started.
And he looks old. He looks beat up now. It's probably the Cybermen. Yeah, exactly. The Cybermen take it out of you.
So speaking of Cybermen, let's go to one of the big trailers from this week. The full-blown trailer for Blade Runner 2049. To me, I have not gotten your opinion on this before now. To me, it looks pretty. It looks an awful lot like Ghost in the Shell did earlier this year. It still did not make me want to go see the movie, even though Harrison Ford's in it. Did you get anything out of this trailer?
It looks interesting, but it doesn't. I mean, I want to go see the movie, so I don't need to see a trailer. But I don't know that there's anything in it that's going to draw anybody into it. Gosling looks very interesting.
I really like
the casting of Gosling. Well, that's true. Well, it's because they probably heard, it's awful. I don't think it was awful, but that's probably what they heard. It looks interesting, but again, it's like I can't imagine anybody, as you know, we've seen trailers for like Thor Ragnarok and Wonder Woman. Trailer is awesome. I can't imagine anybody looking at this and thinking, man, I can't wait to see this movie. It that does nothing to pull people in, I think. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not doing the job of a trailer. Because it tells you virtually, as I've said, trailers often give away way too much. Sometimes the endings of films, which is mind-blowing. Be stupid.
Yeah.
This basically tells you nothing about the film that you don't already know. Oh, it's set in the Blade Runner universe. It's like, okay, well, and Ryan Gosling is in it. Okay, I already knew that. So, yeah, it's not a good trailer at all. Very weird. Not that it looks cool and blah, 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 but that's not the job of a trailer. Like you said, it's to make you want to go see the film, and it does nothing. I agree with you.
Now, there is another big trailer that's going to hit tomorrow, which is for the X-Men TV series.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Cars 3, a new trailer, where all the cars die. Anyway.
There's a 7,000-car pileup on I-20. Anyway, yeah, the X-Men trailer hits tomorrow. Now, there is a teaser for this trailer online already. Which I can't stand teasers for trailers. Teasers for movies, fine. Teasers for trailers, bite me. But it came out on YouTube, all right? And, I watched it because it's my job. Yeah, we watch movies, so you don't have to, see? So it came out on YouTube. And you know how after the YouTube video, there's those recommended videos, right? If you liked this video, you'd like other ones. The first thing that showed up after the teaser for the trailer of the X-Men TV series was Stephen Wright's first appearance on The Late Show. See, I told you he'd come back later. How the hell do you put two things together? Absolutely nothing to do with each other. But if they're already comparing the X-Men TV series to Stephen Wright's absolute deadpan humor, this does not bode well for the X-Men.
Makes a lot more sense for the X-Files. I can totally see that. You know, he could play Fox's long-lost dad. That would work. But X-Men?
I want to say he was on the X-Files at some point. I'm going to look that up.
It should have been. And they can certainly correct it if he wasn't, because new X-Files coming up.
New shows are coming.
Yeah.
If you don't know Stephen Wright, look him up. He's actually a very – I know we've kind of teased him a bit during the show, but he is actually a really hilarious stand-up comic.
Yeah, he's brilliant, if you get his stuff. Because I totally can understand someone listening to it and thinking, wow, you guys are stupid. This guy's not funny at all. Yeah, that can happen. You just have to be able to get his extreme deadpan material. So –
I was once walking through a forest all alone, and a tree fell right in front of me, and I didn't hear it.
That's one of my favorite jokes. I put coffee in the microwave. I went back in time. That's my favorite joke of his. It's just his stuff is, he's just unbelievable. Unbelievably smart, funny dude.
He was not on the X-Files, but he did make an uncredited appearance on WKRP in Cincinnati in 79.
In 1979? Oh, my God.
Yep.
He had to be 12 years old then. He's much older than that, I know, but still. I was thinking, that would have been awesome, and I'm sure they never worked together. But can you imagine going to a concert of Stephen Wright and Sam Kinison?
I think
about
the stage
a roller coaster.
Would implode.
Oh, my God, yeah. God, that would
be
awesome.
A black hole and a supernova meeting together, and ooh, everything implodes in the size of Belgium.
Or they have like a rap battle, and they're both on stage at the same time, and they tell the same joke, but in their own style. Oh my God, this is it. They could do the Aristocrats.
Oh God.
There you go.
No.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Someday we'll have to talk about the Aristocrats. Anyway, yes, moving on.
So... this week's box office, we don't have to say a whole lot about it because guess what? It's still Guardians of the Galaxy, followed by first run movies Snatched, which I know that has to be the pun version. Snatched made an alleged $17.5 million, and then the Guy Ritchie. What are we going to call this? Is it a bomb already? Because $175 million cost.
Oh, it's a huge bomb.
Made $14.7 million in the opening weekend. Oh dear.
Can we go back to Can we go back to Snatched for a bit? Because we are going to talk about King Arthur quite a bit. Have you seen the trailer for Snatched?
I have even seen interviews with Goldie Hawn and her name just escaped. It ran out in a dress.
Amy Schumer.
Thank you.
And Amy Schumer, I don't care about her attitude. Some people don't like her because of her attitude or politics, whatever. It's like, that's immaterial to me. I don't find her funny, and I know a lot of people do. That's just my personal thing.
I'm with you.
This movie, the trailer, just like, is there anything funny in the movie? It just looks terrible.
It looks like an inverted trailer. Don't go see this movie because of scenes like this.
Melissa McCarthy, who is, I think, is very funny, but she makes a lot of crappy movies because they're not very well written. It's a Melissa McCarthy movie, which, if you like her movies, then go see Snatch, because I'm sure you'll like this. But it just looks bad and dumb. And I like dumb movies, but I don't like bad dumb movies. And this just looks like yuck. Absolutely.
This is like the kind of thing that even the MST3K people would look at and go, you know what? We don't need to do anything to it.
And here's the thing. It pulled in more money than King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. So how badly received. Again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I might love the movie if I go see it, and maybe I'll get a chance this week. But how much do people not like King Arthur if it pulled in more money? I mean, wow.
Well, I mean, King Arthur, they've made it. It's not like they haven't made King Arthur movies before.
Right.
And this was something that IMDb brought up this week. What is your favorite King Arthur movie? And I thought we'd go over that a little bit because, I mean, it's an interesting idea because there have been a lot of them. I mean, just from in the past 15 years, there have been two movies called King Arthur. We can go back to Excalibur. There's a Disney version called The Sword and the Stone. There was First Knight with Richard Gere and Sean Connery. I saw one earlier that made me go, what the hell? That is not a King Arthur movie, but the Disney movie Unidentified Flying Oddball is apparently a King Arthur movie. Kind of vaguely remembered the poster from 5 million years ago. Merlin movies, Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, which was a ye olde Mark Twain movie or story. Two movies that I think might even qualify as King Arthur movies. The Da Vinci Code, kinda, because there's the Holy Grail quest thing going on there. And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, same concept.
Kinda. Transformers: The Last Knight is actually listed. So apparently, I don't know.
Well,
maybe
actually, on this list, so is Shrek the Third and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. So I'm not entirely sure how accurate this list would be.
Yeah, really. Camelot, a well-known one. There's others which I'm sure we will mention in a little bit as we continue this.
What is your favorite? Variation on the author story.
I have two.
Yes.
Excalibur, which I came out in the 80s. It's kind of a weird take on it. But it's a very cool movie. The only thing I don't like about it is the guy who played King Arthur is Nigel Carey. He is boring, and King Arthur kind of is the boring character, and which if you look at some of the other things, he's the central character, but he's kind of like, other than pulling out that sword, which he does in films, he's not that interesting. The more interesting characters are his knights. I mean, that's just how it is. But Nicole Williamson plays Merlin.
Liam Neeson as Gawain.
There you go.
I'm looking at this cast.
So Excalibur is great.
Yeah.
But
did
my other
catch
one.
Did you who played Morgan Le Fay?
No, I did not.
Helen Mirren.
Oh, you mean in Excalibur? Yeah.
In Excalibur. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you meant in the new one.
I haven't seen movies since all these people became considerably larger than they were then.
Yeah, she's awesome as everybody. It's really, really good in Excalibur, except for Nigel Terry, who God knows what he ever did, and I'm not going to bother looking it up. But and maybe it was just he was told to play the role that way. He may be the greatest actor on the planet. But God, he's just kind of eh, in Excalibur. The movie is so fun, though. It's so bizarre. It's so over the top and weird. But that's not my favorite. My favorite King Arthur film. It's my second favorite King Arthur film, but it's the one that kind of bothers to be somewhat close to the story. Do you have like a second favorite, or shall I just give my favorite now?
I guess if I was going to do a second favorite, it's going to be an utterly bizarre second favorite. It's a Babylon 5 episode.
Awesome.
I cannot remember the title, and I watched it like 2 days ago. It's killing me. All right, so basically one of the premises in the series Babylon 5 is that there's a race called the Vorlons who have taken people out of time and cryogenically frozen them.
A late delivery from Avalon.
Thank you. King Arthur comes back. And on a space station of all places, and you kind of go, really? Does that work? But it does. It made for a very interesting story, and you kind of go, did the Vorlons actually take Michael York, who played King Arthur, and bring him back? Because earlier, not even 12 episodes before that, they did bring back Jack the Ripper. So that's where they made King Arthur kind of go, you know, it could be, and it worked. So that's my second favorite. Just
there's a
budding
movie
really
for you.
Babylon 5, man.
King Arthur and Jack the Ripper. My favorite King Arthur movie. Easily. Hands down.
Yes.
And if it wasn't a comedy, it would work really well because it's actually relatively historically accurate. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, we are.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's... Yeah, hands down, one of the funniest films ever. But just the way their life is portrayed and how god-awful it would have been to have had to live through those times. I mean, first place, you ain't got no microwave, so hot pockets are out the door. You know, so but what an awesome movie. What an awesome movie. I mean, you know, just bring out your dead. And it's hilarious, but plague. You know?
Yeah.
Body's rotting. You got to do something with them. Oh my gosh. There's so, yeah, I just laugh thinking about the damn movie, but there's so much structure behind it. And because it works so well, because the setting is so realistic. I mean, considering I think they made it for like $8, you know, it's,
$8.95
Terry
pounds.
Terry Jones. Terry Jones,
yeah.
Oxford educated historian, has written several serious books. He is an absolute, at the time and still is, an absolute, I wouldn't say nut, more of an authority on that time period.
Authoritarian nut.
Yeah, an Arthurian nut. So it's grounded in this really screwed up reality of what life would be like back then. And it's so over the top hilarious. Speak about it, because I could talk until 6 o'clock about the damn movie.
It is. It's got everything that you want in an Arthur movie.
It does.
All of your knights are there. They do even if you're like, but I liked Camelot and it was a musical. They sing in this movie. And it's a wonderful song as well. Have you seen the Lego version they made of that song? Because that works almost as well. It's horrifying, really. But yeah, this movie, it fits the Arthur legend.
Oh, it
doesn't really even matter that it is a comedy. There's so much King Arthur in it that you go, you know what? That is a King Arthur movie. Even though you don't laugh your ass off at any of these other movies that we've got on the list.
And he is the central character, because a lot of the other movies, he's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's much more about Lancelot and Guinevere, and this is about Arthur, and it's about the quest, obviously, for the Grail, I guess. And the one thing I would have preferred, instead of the Lady in the Lake, I mean, that's one version of the legend, is that he had pulled the sword from the stone, but her arm clad in shimmering samite is much funnier. So, God, what an awesome movie. But, yeah, it tells the legend much better than many of the serious films. Absolutely. Such a cool movie.
Which is kind of sad. I'm wondering where the new King Arthur movie was.
Yeah.
I have to wait till it comes up on Netflix. And I think I know what I'm going to watch this afternoon.
Oh, what are you going to watch this afternoon?
That would be the Holy Grail.
There you go. Let me watch Excalibur.
Actually, you know what? I've got both.
Mash up.
I may just do that. Oh, yeah. I'll watch 10 minutes of one and go to the next 10 minutes of the next one, because those will it'll just flow seamlessly.
That would flow, wouldn't
it? Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and The Wizard of Oz.
Merlin versus Tim.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That hurts just thinking of it. couple things actually.
Yes.
Mother's Day film, because it's Mother's Day. A lot of studios are running a special. It's like a buy two for one ticket on Mother's Day. Take your mom out to see Mother's Day. It's like, if you really hate your mother, you know, if you live the mommy dearest life, yeah, go see Mother's Day. Other than that, for God's sakes, what are you thinking? Mother's Day got a 9 on Rotten Tomatoes out of 100. Not like a 9 out of 10 on IMDb. A 9. Don't go see this piece of crap. If you're going to go to take your mom to a movie, two movies, guaranteed, every mom in the universe would love one or the other. Guardians Volume 2 or Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
If you have a mother that would not like either of those films, and if you can't figure out which one to take your mom to, you're a terrible kid. Take her to one of those movies. Don't go see Mother's Day, for God's sakes. It's like, Mom, I love you so much. Let's go see one of the worst freaking movies ever made. It's like, don't do that to her. Again, we already mentioned that, excuse me, or go take her to see The Fifth Element if your mom is kind of out there and trippy. Another thing I want to talk about, we've talked about these festivals. Yes?
I just looked up the top 25. Oh, really? Okay. Elle Magazine put out a top 25 in no particular order Mother's Day movies. On this list, I mean, yeah, most of these are, yeah, but really, Troop of Beverly Hills. Really?
God.
But on this list are two movies that I'm not sure I would have put on here. One is Juno, followed by Knocked Up. Really? Those are Mother's Day movies? And scrolling down the list, which is apparently in alphabetical order, you come to Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Well, she's a heck of a mom.
That's a Mother's Day film.
Yeah,
sure,
those are movies
not?
With moms. Well, the Juno is pretty cool. Yeah, that's a god-awful list.
It is.
Yeah, that's just terrible. Jeez. Anyway, film festivals. Studio Ghibli.
Yes.
Some of the coolest, most awesome kids, not just for kids movies ever, when we were talking before about Despicable Me 3, they are having a festival which starts in June. 6 of their best films, and it makes me sad that Princess Mononoke is not one of them, but it came out last year, so they're probably holding it back for the next year's festival. But it kicks off June 25th, June 26th with My Neighbor Totoro. Sunday afternoon, like around 1 o'clock, they're showing the English dubbed version. Monday night, 7 p.m., they're showing the original Japanese version with subtitles. So you have two ways to see it. And that pattern follows through all of them. So My Neighbor Totoro in June, Kiki's Delivery Service in July, Castle in the Sky in August, Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind in September, Spirited Away, woo, in October, and Howl's Moving Castle in November. So one a month. And Regal, I think, is doing a promo where you can buy a pass for all 6 films for $60, which is reasonable because it would probably cost you a little more depending where you live. But you also get a film sale from Spirited Away if you get that pass, which is super awesome. So, but be able to order it quickly because I think it's like 3 to 4 weeks delivery. So make sure you order it like now if you're going to do that, because you have to have that pass in your hand to get into the film. That's not the only way to go. You can just go to the movies. But that is like some of the coolest news in movies ever, that six Studio Ghibli films coming. And again, dubbed versions, which the dubs are excellent. Those are on Sundays.
Yeah.
Kid times at 1 in the afternoon. Right after church, go take your kids to see a Japanese movie. Or Monday evening, 7 o'clock, after work, you know, instead of hitting the bar, go see one of these movies. You'll feel much happier. So, I mean, it just...
You will. Less of a hangover.
Cool movies coming out. Yeah, exactly. Less of a hangover. But I love that they're kicking off the main movie, Totoro, because it's such a sweet, fun, weird, weird movie. Which kind of describes all of them, but
it does.
Very, very. And this actually would be an awesome Father's Day movie. My Neighbor Totoro.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. So that's coming out soon. What shows do you have coming up, probably, let's say, this week?
This week, 12th Man Rising Seahawks show will be on Tuesday, and Ted will have his fabulous late night parents on Wednesday. And I don't think I've ever mentioned before, but he also does it on the actual honest to God broadcast over the airwaves into the atmosphere radio on a Long Island station on Sunday evenings. So you can catch that. The show's on 7 o'clock on Sundays. Although I don't know if he's doing it tonight because Mother's Day, and Pam, who rules his life wisely so because he needs ruling, may have forbid it because it's Mother's Day. So that's what's going on for us, for you, sir, and your fabulous reboot, relaunch, changeover, which is such a cool thing.
Yeah, the Two Pages Project is going really well, getting a lot of good responses. If you want to submit a story for me to turn into an ebook and an audio book for the podcast, go to the website, twopagesproject.com. New episode this week. And I don't know what it's going to be yet. I haven't decided. So tune in and check it out, because the last two that we've done from Faye Wallace and Jan Perry have been they're excellent stories. And I think they turned into pretty good audiobook stuff. So check those out, twopagesproject.com. And then Friday, of course, we'll have another episode of The Fwat Show, because there's just entirely too much stupidity on the planet to not make fun of it.
Check
out thefwatshow.com, both of those shows are available on the Coil Entertainment Network, which is coil.us, C-O-Y-L. So there, because the other coil was taken. Anyway, that's what I got coming up this week. And I think I'm going to go watch The Holy Grail, because I need to laugh
Good
at something
choice.
That isn't Donald Trump related.
That, indeed, makes perfect sense, because why would you not do that? Because,
yeah.
Not the most fun thing ever. Anyway, I guess we're done. Are we done?
I think
what a professional close.
I've run out of stuff.
Yay!
Have a good week, everybody.
Would let me live in Montana.
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.